This evening, first thing I want to do this evening, there's an echo. Ian, you got to deal with that. I'm teasing. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, because I'll probably get going, I'll forget that. It is Christmas. Most wonderful time of the year for those of us that know the Lord. What an extraordinary life, what an extraordinary gift that God gave to us. And so I hope you have a wonderful time with your family or friends or wherever you are. Just remember what we're celebrating, the birth of the Savior of the world. And the second thing that I wanted to do before I get started tonight is to personally thank those of you, so many of you here over this last year, and actually for many years, have been financially supporting this church sacrificially. And I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you for helping us reach out to young men and women here in the cities. We deeply appreciate it. Our team appreciates it. I appreciate it. And I know it touches the heart of God, because we're in this for Him. We're doing this for Him to get glory. We're doing this to share the love of Jesus Christ with the world in which we live, and our world here in particular, in the Twin Cities, in the Minneapolis area. So thank you very, very much. You know, for those of you that are looking for a Christmas Eve service, it's actually won't be in the Eve. It's 3 in the afternoon. We don't do one here at The Rock, but we have a lot of other churches here in the city, 4 in particular, the 3 Evergreens and the Urban Refuge, that actually myself and a few other pastors founded along with this church, The Rock. So we have a lot of things going on, but one I'd like to direct you to this particular Monday, if you want to go with family or friends, would be our Evergreen West location, and Jeremy does the music over there as well, so you kind of have a frame of reference. There's a little map in your program tonight, and so if you get, you know, the desire and you want to take your family and friends to a really meaningful little service, then check out that service at 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve day. The reason we do it at 3 p.m., I know for many years the guys were always saying, you know, should we do a Christmas Eve service? Shouldn't we? And then they started putting in the afternoon, and I'm like, why are we doing them in the afternoon if they're supposed to be Christmas Eve services? Because whenever we did them in the afternoon, they were the most well attended. People seemed to want to get their service out of the way in the afternoon and then be with family at the evening, so we were accommodating. So that's the explanation. By the way, for those of you coming to Faith Walkers, we have 1,763 people at Missouri. We have 612 in Asheville, North Carolina. And we only started this 5 years ago. This will be our 5th. So it's really just mushroomed and blossomed into something tremendous. And if you are still thinking of possibly coming, I want you to know we'd love to have you. It'll just be a tremendous time. Myself and a few other friends of mine started it. And I work with pastors all over the country. It'll be just chock full of young people and singing, worshiping God, and investing in our spiritual lives, growing and learning more and more about how we might be more Christ-like and how we might impact the world in which we live for Jesus Christ. We think about the impact that the Savior had being born in that little stable. The impact that has reverberated throughout history for the last 2,000 years. All because God was willing to give His Son. All because Jesus was willing to come. And then we think about the fact that at 33 years of age, Jesus died. He was no more. But He lived on in His followers. And it is through His followers that He continues to impact the world. And God wants to use you in the same ways that He used Mary and Peter and John and Tabitha and countless millions of others down through the ages. And that's what we're going to be talking about at this year's Faith Walkers, is how you can be an impact player, an impact person in the kingdom of God. How can you make your life count in this life for eternity, and just what it takes? Tonight we're going to finish this series entitled Our Heavenly Father. And I want to start by reading a verse in the book of James. It says this. I'm talking about God as our Father. I just give you a little brief background. A few weeks ago, I finished a series entitled Healing the Father Wound. And so many of us had such a difficult relationship with our own fathers. Maybe we had no relationship with our father. I was reading today, just to give you a perspective. Now, percentages can be a little deceptive, but I'll try to explain for a moment. Right now, among the Hispanic community in the United States, 48% of all children born are born to unwed mothers. In other words, they don't have a father living with them. Among the African-American community, it's 70.6%, or 7 out of every 10 children born. Among Anglo-Saxon Americans, it's 27%, but of course that 27% makes up numerically as many or more because it's a much greater, broader base population. So there are so many young people today that are living, growing up, or have grown up without a father. There are many others who had a father for a time and watched that father walk away or disengage or simply keep them at arm's length for much of their life. And whether we want to believe it or not, it has a tremendous adverse impact on our lives. And so I thought as we finish this series, it would be a really good idea for us to just to focus on the kind of father God is, because he really takes the place of that which we did not have. The Bible says he's the father to the fatherless. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he heals the brokenhearted. And God kind of steps in through the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to get involved in our lives, and he can mend our heart. He can imprint upon us. He can give us the strength and the security and the guidance and the instruction and the security that an earthly father was intended to exemplify. And no earthly father can ever be like God, but they certainly could have been similar. They never are God, but they could have been like him. We could have learned much from them. And so it's because of that and with that in mind that I'm doing this series, so that you might understand a little bit of what God is like as your father. He's nothing like your earthly father. Oh, there may be similarities at times. There may be similarities. There was intended to be similarities, but God is so far beyond what our fathers were ever capable of being. And this is one of those verses in the Bible that I reflect on often. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from our Heavenly Father above, who created all of heaven's lights. Unlike those lights, he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. In his goodness, he chose to make us his own children by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his choice possession when we embraced Christ. God does not change. Our Heavenly Father does not change. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but I want to talk about that a little bit this evening. Everything in our world changes. The price of milk changes. The price of gasoline changes. The weather changes. Whether or not your cell phone plan changes. The tuning on a guitar frustratingly changes. I have a guitar. I really like my guitar. It was a gift to me. It's very precious to me. Every 5 minutes, it goes out of tune. And I'm the kind of person, I'm getting older, but my ears are pretty good. And it drives me crazy. I'm stopped. Whatever I'm doing, I got to tune it. Then I got to tune it again. Then I got to tune it again. Cars change. People change. Relationships change. Everything changes. And you know, people say, Omar, change is good. No, most change isn't good. See, God Remember what it says here, that every good and perfect gift, God is good and perfect. There is no improvement needed with God. There is no improvement on your Heavenly Father. He's as good can be. He's as perfect can be. But nothing in our world is perfect. My computer. Oh my God, computers, can they drive you out of your mind? Now maybe you have a stronger mind than I do. You probably do. But mine can just drive me out. AOL. One day AOL works like a charm. The next day, doing the same things, it just goes off. Oh, and then right in front of you, and this is a new computer, the whole screen will just freeze. Just do nothing. I'm right in the middle of a reply. I got to turn the whole thing off. I have dial-up. But broadband, I've used broadband. It doesn't work much better. I mean, it may be a little faster. But then just when you think something ought to really come fast, slows down. Changes. The weather changed. Tomorrow we're supposed to get snow. Changes. Your spouse changes. There is not a spouse in the world who can maintain the level of passion, adoration, love, and respect that they gave you during the first year you met. Because they start living with you after you're married and you're human. And after a time, it happens with every single person. You ever heard of the, I'm not going to get the right law of thermodynamics, but it's that everything tends towards entropy or disorder. Everything. God does not. God is the only thing in the universe that never, ever, ever, ever comes unglued or becomes disorderly. He's always the same. He's always the rock. That's in fact why I named this church the rock. We need stability in our life. We need a constant in our life. We have a dear young lady here who got the shock of her life one sunny afternoon on a bridge in this city when all of a sudden, bam, everything in her world changed. Along with hundreds of other people. When a bridge just dropped out from under her and lots of other people. That same weekend, just before, I had been in Iowa, and I had just come from a conference, and I'm just driving along, enjoying the Toyota that someone had given to me. It was a 95 Toyota Corolla, 5-speed, nicest used car I'd ever had. And I'm driving, going to stay with my mom in Webster City, Iowa, really looking forward to it. And all of a sudden, I'm going 65 miles an hour. That was the speed limit, by the way. And I'm driving down the highway. Bam! Right in front of me, a deer, full on, pregnant. Boom! Bam! The car's ruined. My face is smashed. Airbag, and I'm in the hospital. I cannot wait for heaven personally to the day that nothing ever again changes in my life. I mean, what an extraordinary thing it is to know that we have a God who does not change. He does not change his mood towards you. You know, I have to confess, you know, I have four children and I really love them, but, you know, I hate my humanity. I admit that to you. I hate my humanity. I want more divinity in my life, more Christ-likeness and less of me. But the kids could all attest just how easy, how unsuspecting sometimes, bam, Dad can change. And I hate it. I hate it about myself. I do not like my personality. You say, oh, Mark, you ought to love yourself. I don't love my... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for that I'm alive. I'm thankful I have a personality. You probably get sick of it too sometimes. But I don't like that. I hate that about myself. I hate that about myself. You know, this morning I got up and I was looking forward to a really good day and headed into the weekend and headed down to Faith Walkers and just... But something happened before I went to bed last night. It just weighed on my mind all night long. I could not figure out a solution for it. And even I prayed about it. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to solve this. And then I woke up and there was one thing after another. And usually in the morning, I try real early to do my prayer walk on the treadmill because it's Well, it wasn't today, but the last month has been a little too cold for me to go out and walk and even concentrate to pray. So I usually take a 2-mile prayer walk. So I'm on the treadmill and I'm praying, but then I can't think. And then I'm just overwhelmed by the emotion of all the stuff that I have to deal with. And I must confess to you, my mood just went in the tank. I mean, just like my legs all of a sudden started feeling 1,000 pounds. And I was like, God, I don't know if I'm going to have another crummy Christmas. This is going on like 5 years in a row, Lord, of, for me, really crummy Christmases. And man, I just fought and I fought. I cannot wait for the day that Mark doesn't change anymore. But God doesn't. God doesn't. And I cannot even begin to describe to you the comfort that it is to me to know God, my Father, doesn't change. He's not like me. He's always warm and affectionate and tender and responsive and understanding and full of mercy. He's always loving. He's always considerate. His patience never wears thin. I feel like mine is like ice that you shouldn't be out on too soon, or you're going to go to the bottom of the lake. And I tell you, men and women, I just find such tremendous comfort in knowing that my Father doesn't change. He doesn't change. The Bible says in Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even the intensity of the sun, it changes. It goes through seasons where it's actually hotter, when there's more sun flare activity, then there's a little less, then there's a little more, then there's a little less. God never wanes. He never wanes in his enthusiasm about you. He never wanes in his passion, his passionate commitment to you. He never just sort of withdraws, just an eensy-weensy bit, and thinks, you know, I don't know. I don't know about that one, guys. What do you think, Spirit? What do you think, Jesus? I don't know if I really still want this one in the family. He's never like that. You're never going to find him in a bad mood. A lot of fathers, you know, find in a bad mood all the time. God's never in a bad mood in relationship to you. He doesn't change. The second thing that I wanted to cover this evening that's been a tremendous comfort to me that you need to know about God is found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take fresh courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. God, and we'll read this in Psalms in just a moment, God is always faithful and always keeps his promise. He is always faithful and he always keeps his promise. I want you to think about that. How many broken promises have there been in your life? How many people have express to you, either with their actions or with their words, I love you, I'm committed to you, and they're nowhere to be found today. I can't tell you how much I wanted to share this tonight before I share the other side of this, how much it means to me that so many of you have been with us here at The Rock since we started this January 11th. It'll be about 9 years ago that we started. And there are some of you here that have been with us serving away, loyal and committed, and faithful those 9 years. But I can't tell you how many heartbreaks I've had over those 9 years. And I have letters from people. Letters. I mean, I didn't ask them to write them. Mark, the rock is the most wonderful thing in my life. I know God has me here and I can't wait to serve with you till the day I die. I'm so grateful. Bam, they're gone. They're gone. You say, oh, things change. Well, some things do change at times that are completely out of our control. But when it comes to relationships, much of the time it's in our control. We just are fickle. We're just unfaithful. We're just, as humans, disloyal. We lack that kind of faithfulness that God has, that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you. Look at what Psalm says. I love these two psalms. Psalm 89. Actually, there's multitudes of psalms, but not enough time to read them all. O Lord God Almighty, all of heaven will praise your miracles. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than those who surround his throne. O Lord God Almighty, where is there anyone as mighty as you, Lord? Faithfulness is your very character. And then in Psalm 91, and verse 4, he will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. God is faithful. Psalm says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will not forsake me. You know, I've actually been through that. I remember, just like yesterday, all the emotions, exactly what it felt like when my wife's parents forsook us for our faith. It's the only reason. There was no other reason. We loved Jesus Christ, and we wanted to serve Jesus Christ. And they did not like that one bit. They did everything they could to try to keep us from getting married, and we waited 2 years to win them, to honor them. We went through a whole lot of hoops, you might say, to do what we could to have them attend the wedding. They finally said they would, and then 3 days beforehand, they said they wouldn't, so we canceled the wedding and waited 2 more months, and then they said after 2 years, forget it, we're never going to come anyway, just get on with your lives. Now, of course, God has done, I could tell you a really neat, awesome story of what God has done in their lives as we were faithful to God and God was faithful to us. But I got to tell you, at that moment, I'll never forget that moment and that time in my life, the extraordinary comfort that I had knowing the most important being in all the universe, the most powerful being in all the universe, God, my Father, will not forsake me ever. He's faithful. You can count on him. He's dependable. I want you to think about that for a minute. Again, just go through a few things. Your cell phones, are they dependable? No, not like God. You know, people talk about, you know, emergencies are nice to have. I'm sure they are. But you know how frustrating it is to be in an emergency situation and it won't work and it doesn't get a signal? Or all of a sudden your call is dropped? Or how many times maybe your car, you go out to the car, you go to start it, it won't start. Or all of a sudden there's a little engine symbol that comes on because some stupid smog control thing that, you know, you don't know a thing about needs to be replaced for $1,000. Or like I said earlier, your computer, I mean, they're real faithful. I remember telling my son, this is just the way life is. He's going to start a business. He has a business now doing web design. And so he was going to start his own business, lead this company. So I just happened to say, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I just got enough experience to know that bad things often happen. So it's a good idea to prepare for them. So I just said, you know, Jer, You know, once you leave that company, the computer that you have, that's your life. If it goes down, then your job goes down. You might want to get a backup or something like that. Oh, yeah, I'll be fine, Dad. I'll be fine. So he got this memory chip card, and he got careful instructions of how to put it in. Follow the instructions, put it in, and the whole thing crashed. It still crashed. Broke. He had to go out and put down $3,000 for a Mac Pro. You say, well, Mac Pros don't have problems, but a month into the Mac, it's got problems. If it can happen, often it does. You know why? Not because it's negativity. It's because it's the reality of the fallen, broken world we live in. This world. And so often the relationships of this world will disappoint you. They will leave you so disappointed. God does not. You know, Tori Amos has a song. I feel sorry for Tori. I like her style. I like her singing. God, sometimes you just don't come through. Do you need a woman to look after you? Last thing God needs is a woman to look after him. Last thing God needs is anybody to look after him. We all need God looking after us. God is faithful. God keeps his promises. You think across this country, how many people, you ever thought about this? Stand in front of hundreds of people saying to another person in front of everybody, till death do us part, I give my life to you. And they break the promise. Time and time and time and time. And so now it's getting to the point that people go, I just want to make the promise. Let's just live together. Well, that's life with no promises. That's more of a grand experiment. It kind of sends the message, can send the message that, well, we'll see how this works. And then if it doesn't, I'll go my way, you go your way. But ask yourself, is that really the kind of relationships we want with people? Is that really how we want to be? We want to know that the person we're with is committed to us. I have a... I'm going to touch on this. I have a very, very, very sick daughter. And in the last 30 days, again, has been leading up to faith, has been really been tough again. And it's been 4 years now. This February will be 4 years. She's very precious to me. But I admit from a human standpoint, from a human perspective, it gets really old. At times it gets really emotionally extremely draining and very difficult. And it's very, very, very draining on the pocketbook as well. And I have a brother. Most of you don't know this. I have two older half-brothers. So I'm the oldest of six in my family, but when I was 18, I found out I have two older half-brothers. My oldest brother, or my second oldest brother, he and his wife had a child that had tremendous health difficulties. I won't get into the details. 3 years into those health difficulties, my brother walked out on all of them because they got too much for him to deal with. The couples with the highest rate of divorce in America are couples with a sick child. Now, how is that for promises? When someone needs us the most, often we walk. And from a human perspective, and I'd be the first one to admit this, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for Christ's strength, now, I'm just being very honest. I'd be tempted to walk. I wouldn't have the strength to keep doing this. I'd be really frustrated and angry. And I've had more than one person. I was in the pharmacy the other day, real early. I go real early to beat the crowds. In this storm, sir, I was in the pharmacy section. The pharmacy wasn't open at 5 a.m. And there's a lady there who gets me special medical cream for my daughter. It's the only place I can get this particular kind of cream. It was $300 worth of it. And while I was back at this counter, away from other people, she was adding things up. There's this guy who walks up next to me, and he smelled like alcohol. But I don't think he was drunk. And he had a couple items, and he had a hat on and real scraggly hair. And so I was telling this guy, he's standing there pretty close in our space, actually, our personal space. And so I'm explaining to this gal, you know, she knows my daughter's condition, and I was explaining a little bit to her. And this guy puts his arm on me, and he goes, I'm really sorry to hear that. It's very kind of him. And I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, we just keep trusting God. And he goes, oh, God, sounds like God's let you down. And I was like, oh, bless his heart. I said, oh, don't think that. That isn't true. God hasn't let us down. He's not finished with us yet. He's kept us afloat. He's kept us from going bankrupt. He's provided in miraculous ways. God has done extraordinary things, but we're still in the middle of it. God keeps his promises. If I did not believe that God kept his promises, literally, this thing emotionally would devastate my life. I'd just be like, if I added it to the other strains of things that I won't go into tonight, I'd just be like pile driven. But what gives me hope, what puts, if you might describe it, helium in the balloon called my soul, is God's promises. That God promises to answer prayer. That God promises to bear my burdens. That God promises to give us the grace to handle whatever he brings in my life. That God promises he has a plan for my life. That he does good. That he knows what he's doing. That my Father has me, Kathy, Jessica, Micah, he's got us in his hand. And he knows what he's doing. If I did not know that, I think it would be safe to say I would truly be a nervous wreck. I'd be a wreck. So that's what you see that the writer means in Hebrews when he says, for we have this confidence that's an anchor to our soul. Do you understand an anchor? An anchor is found really only on a ship or a boat. And the seas, man, the seas can change just like that. They can be still as glass, and then the next thing you know, they can be 15-foot breakers, they can be 20-foot, they can be 8, and they're tossing you back and forth. And sometimes when they get really bad, the ship will drop its anchor to hold fast. Or if it's getting too close to rocks, it'll drop that anchor, drag it down, and hold it secure. Our life is like that. Life is like these anchors. And it just tosses us back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes, you know, to be honest, we let it do that. But when we reach out and hold on to God and remember that he's holding on to us and he's our rock and he's our shelter and he's our fortress and his promises, as the Bible says here in Psalm 91, are our protection. They're our shield. Sorry. It says, his promises are your armor and protection. They're your armor and your protection. His promises. Listen, now this is very important. His promises will come true because he made them. But you may not experience the strength from them if you don't choose to believe them. To you, they will be as though they don't exist. You see, it's when we decide, I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to believe what God says. Just about every morning when I'm getting out of bed and I'm getting ready for the day, I go over this verse in Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. The verse means this. It means I can go through, I can endure, I can handle whatever life throws at me and brings my way through the empowerment and the grace and the strength that God gives to me through Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that I could do brain surgery. It doesn't mean, oh, if you just believe, you can achieve it. That's not true. I'll never be able to be a brain surgeon. Blood makes me very sick. I'm never going to overcome that. I get real queasy. I get real weak in the knees. You wouldn't want me operating on you. But the Bible promises that I can go through whatever God brings my way. That I can endure it. That I can make it to the other side. Because God is faithful, and God keeps His word, and God does what He says He's going to do, and you can count on it. He will never turn His back on you. He will always be faithful and loyal and committed to you, no matter what other people do. And that's very important to remember. No matter what other people do in your life, you're going to go, you know, you're young. Most of you here are very young. There's a lot of life left to live. There's a lot of wonderful things you're going to experience. There's a lot of painful things you're going to experience. That's life. There are going to be hurts in relationships. There are going to be things that happen that right now you cannot even imagine would happen. They're going to happen. But I want you to know through all of that, God will stand by you steadfast in your corner. The psalmist said, if God is for me, who can be against me? You want to know why? The Psalms, many of the Psalms were written. They were written by a man named David. Let me tell you just a little bit about David. David was a young Jewish boy in a very large family. When he's about 17 years of age, this giant army came against the Israelites. Very much like movies you might see in Braveheart. I mean, warfare has not changed for thousands of years until the pistol was invented. Other than that, it was knives, swords, bows, arrows, spears, hand-to-hand combat for thousands of years. And David lived in that period where it's very much like King Arthur and his knights. You could see stuff in a movie very similar to David's time. David was a shepherd boy, took care of the sheep. His father tells him to go check on his brothers. He does. As a result, of David's faith, he goes out and wins a great victory for his king, who is Saul, and for his nation. As a result, Saul brings him into the palace. Saul loves him. Loves him. David is also a musician, incredible musician, and he plays for Saul, and he calms Saul. Saul's son, Jonathan, becomes David's best friend. Best friend. And was till the day he died. But little by little, Saul, whose entire kingdom was saved by David, David who deserved all the honor that he got, Saul became jealous of this boy. Instead of realizing, God, thank you for this young man in my life. Thank you for what you've done. You've saved our kingdom, my kingdom, through this boy. I honor you, God. I don't need to be afraid of who gets the glory here? Saul's jealousy began to eat away at him and eat away at him. It ate away at him so bad that he spent the next 8 years trying to kill David. He chased him with the armies of Israel all over the nation. Now let me tell you, that's emotional. That broke David's heart. He loved Saul and he loved Saul's son Jonathan, and they were best friends. And David had married Saul's daughter. You talk about a dysfunctional, mixed up mess. You don't think David felt betrayed and crushed and wept and brokenhearted? And yet, in all of it, though God is for me, when God is for me, who can be against me? Read Psalm 27. Psalm 27, David wrote while he was being chased, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Though an army encamp against me, though 10,000 rise up against me, I will not be afraid, for the Lord is my rock. You see, that if that can keep David going in the most difficult of circumstances, it can keep you going. Lastly, in regards to God's faithfulness, we have Christmas. You say, what does Christmas have to do with God's faithfulness? It has everything to do with God's faithfulness and God's promise. In Isaiah, thousands of years ago, God promised that He would send a son, that He would send a Messiah to save the world. And He did it. Even though the world today often refuses to call Christmas Christmas. Instead, it's Happy Holidays. Even though they refuse to acknowledge Him, even though they worship other gods before Him, even though much of the world has turned its back on Him and is living their life contrary to everything and every moral law that God has given, God kept His word. And He gave His Son, born of a virgin as He promised, born in Bethlehem as He promised. And that son grew up, and that son became the King of Kings, and that son died for all the sins of mankind. And anyone who believes Him will never perish but have everlasting life. God kept His promise. And you can always look to that young person. You can always look back at the cross, this event in history. It's the most sung about event, the most written about event, and the most talked about event is the birth of Jesus Christ and then the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We place our calendar, our time, before Christ and after Christ. It's a central fact of history. God will be faithful to you. God does not change. God keeps His word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And again, I just want to wish all of you a fantastic Christmas. And I want to just say thank you for being a part of this church. Thank you for giving me the privilege of being able to be your pastor and being able to share God's word with you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being involved in so many of our ministries here. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing. Father, we just thank you tonight for your incredible love and your incredible faithfulness and your incredible goodness. And Lord, we just thank you tonight that you do keep your word. You're never even tempted by evil, Lord. See, you never even had an evil thought. It's impossible. Faithfulness is the very fabric of your being. You had no idea what it would even be like to be unfaithful. It's incomprehensible to you to break your promise. I tell you, Lord, you literally are my salvation. Not just your Son, Jesus Christ, but you save me mentally every day. You save me emotionally every day. You are the reason that I can go on day after day in a world that is so wretched and pathetic and despicable, full of lies and deceit and broken promises and broken things and broken relationships. You, oh God, do not break down. You don't break down. You don't lie. You don't deceive. You don't get all emotional and say, oh, Mark, I love you. You're so wonderful. And then, you know, a year later, yeah, I don't want to be your friend anymore. God, I tell you, I love you. You're just the best thing in my life. And I am so grateful that Jesus, you love us, that you gave your life for us, that you live today. You're not like a light bulb that burned bright for a while and now you're dim, but you're as bright and luminous as you have ever been. You haven't faded one iota. God, I praise you for that. I pray that you bless each person here. Bless them in their travels. Bless them over their holiday. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you in the new year. God bless you.